The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
So Ash.
Yes.
I looked up what are the top 10 most popular Christmas songs.
Oh.
Now, this is according to Billboard. So like, don't just think like classic old songs. Like it could be like basically any Christmas song. You know what I mean? So yes. Let's start with, do you want to start 10 down or 1?
Oh.
Let's start with number 1.
Okay.
What do you think the most popular Christmas song is?
Is it a Michael Bublé song?
No.
Is it a Mariah Carey song?
Mm-hmm.
All I Want for Christmas?
Ding,
I should have said
ding.
That first.
I know,
that
I'm was in my surprised
head,
at you.
In my head, I was thinking her, and then I thought like, oh, maybe he, like more people like him,
yeah.
But no, yeah.
Yeah, All I Want for Christmas. Number 2.
Okay. Michael Bublé?
No.
Dang.
Think more like a title.
Justin Bieber. Oh. Oh, shoot. I don't know.
Number 2, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree.
Okay. All right.
Number 3.
You know what? I feel like I'm going to be really bad at this. This feels like a lot of work and effort on my
part. I'm going to say the song and you have to sing at least a line from it. Okay, ready? Okay. Number 3, The Christmas Song.
You don't know that song?
I don't think so.
The Christmas, that's the title
the Christmas
of the song?
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Isn't it the, although it's been said many times, many ways.
That's the Christmas song?
I think.
I never knew that was the name of
right?
it.
Is that right, Mark? Merry Christmas
no, yeah.
to you. Okay, thanks.
Wow.
Mark said it's
I had no
song.
Idea. Learning
Number
things.
4. Jingle Bell Rock. You have
Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle Bell Rock.
Okay, let's
I just
give
think
it
of
one line,
girls.
Please.
Mean Girls.
Yeah. Oh
mean
my
girls?
Gosh. Yeah. That's it. That must suck to like
time,
to write this beautiful
time.
Song and then like a movie gets
mean
a hold
girls
of it
just
and just
over.
Ruins it.
Yeah.
Number 5, Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Have a Merry Christmas. I just have to snap Navidad. With all of these. I don't know why.
Yep. Number 6, A Holly Jolly Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Oh, she freaking went for that one. Dang.
I said have.
No, you didn't say
you
have.
Meant
you went.
Just kidding.
Number 7, It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Cool.
Good job. Okay. Number 8, Christmas Eve.
I don't know that one.
By the Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah. Watch. What if I just like went into it
I would
immediately?
Die. I would die.
Didn't bat an eye.
Number 9, White Christmas. You didn't know that one? Crosby.
Dreaming of a white. Okay, okay. All right, all right. I guess I don't know titles.
Yeah.
This is hard.
Number 10, Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away.
Which is why everyone breaks up. Okay. Number, oh, that was it.
That was it.
That was it.
10. And we're done.
Go
Thank
us.
You for joining us in this version of Unsolicited Advice.
Oh, Chris's my God.
Carrie
oh, my God.
Yucky. Hello, guys. Welcome back to the podcast. This is Ashley.
I'm Taryn.
We're Unsolicited Advice, and have we got some advice for you?
Just kidding. Oh, dear God.
I don't know hers. I might not have advice for hers. I don't know. I have advice for mine, for sure. I don't know
Are
about
you
hers.
Good?
Yeah. I'm really, if you guys listened to our last episode, we're recording two episodes in a row today. So we just finished last week's recording last week's, and now we're getting into this one. It's a lot for me.
It is a lot. And you know what I've noticed? We start super like in your face, like a freaking disco song.
Yeah.
In your face. And by the time we end, it's like
it's so mellow and chill. Like I want to hug you and namaste.
And then we get in the car and we're like, I'm tired.
I'm so tired. Yeah. I think the reason we start so hype in the beginning is because we know we still have a full episode to go. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like when
we usually chug an energy drink.
Yeah. Exactly. Or coffee or something.
By the way, mm-hmm. we're trying not to be too, because the last time I had an energy drink, I listened back to it and was like, I literally sound like I'm on drugs. And my brother, I told him that and he was like, oh, I haven't listened yet. And then like 2 days later, I get a text that was like, yeah, you sound like you're on drugs. Yeah. I was like, dang it. Which, speaking of, I got a DM. And someone was like, I'm so sorry if this offends you, but like if I didn't know you, I would think you're drunk a lot in your stories.
I see that actually.
All the time, which I don't exactly know how to take that.
I don't think it should be taken a bad way. I just think it means you have no chill.
I do have no chill.
Yeah. I think that's what that means.
I think specifically you
think of a drunk person and you think no chill.
Like intense.
Yeah.
But I also don't love the fact that people just think I'm like walking around my daily life intoxicated.
I mean, I don't think people think that if they listen to the, you know, podcast at all. I think they'd be like, oh, that's just who she is.
He was talking about, which we can repost this so you guys have some reference. There was a story. I was drinking this. We were at a wedding. Mm-hmm. And they had like giant water bottles on the table. So by the end of the night, I went to go refill my water. And then someone was like, oh, you should just drink out of it, which you can't egg me on because I'll do it.
Right.
So I was walking up to the dance floor, like chugging this giant glass water bottle.
Uh-huh.
And one of my friends, our friend Justine, mm-hmm. like brought her phone out and was recording me. So the second I know I'm on camera, like I ham it up. So I was like chugging it. And then I did like rock star hands and was like, yeah, like party. But even I put on my story like that H2O dough or something like that. But, you know.
Do people comment on it?
I think that's why they wrote that story and was like, if I didn't know you, I would think you're drunk all the time.
Got it.
Which I didn't take offense if you're listening right now. I like that you said that because, you know, I think a lot of people think that.
Yeah, I could see
that. It's unfortunate or it's a gift.
It's unfortunate or it's a gift.
Yeah. Speaking of the wedding, that's what we did a couple weekends ago.
We did. You guys. My God. Okay. The craziest thing happened.
Oh, yeah.
So Taryn and I, backstory, one of our best friends got married this past weekend. So, you know. We were bridesmaids.
Yep.
And as every good wedding does, it ended in a dance party. And it was just, there was so much joy and happiness and I was really feeling it. So I danced pretty hard, which is a rare thing for me.
Yeah.
I don't always dance hard, but especially because it was around like people I love and I was just genuinely so happy that this couple was like finally together forever.
Oh my gosh. We're big Thomas just, like, and Ashley
fans. Oh my God. They belong together. So, you know, when you like, you meet someone and then you meet their other half
and you're like, and everything
you
makes sense.
You're like, oh my God.
And it gives
you guys
hope.
Have to be. It really does.
You're like, oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'll wait
it
for mine.
It really does. It was the cutest thing. I don't even know if I told you this, but at the end of the wedding, I was like, Thomas walked by and I gave him a big hug and he just like looks at me and then like pats my arm and is like, don't worry, we'll find you someone.
Oh,
You know what? You let me know when you do, because yeah. I'll be here.
I'll be here.
It was funny. It was a nice moment we shared. But long story short, we were on our way.
Can I tell just the car part?
Oh, yeah. We were on our way home from the party. Alicia and I decided we were going to go drive through and get burritos. And I was telling a story to her, and like mid conversation, I looked down at my hands because I have this habit where I constantly rub my fingers together where my rings are.
Yeah.
And I just kind of feel for them. And it's something I play with my rings all the time. It's like a nervous tic that I have, I think.
You play with jewelry in general. Like you're always going like with your necklace.
I do it constantly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I've never been more aware of it until now.
Yeah.
But I went and touched my ring finger on my right hand and realized that one of my rings, my midi ring, which is a very beautiful, like small, dainty gold ring that was my grandmother's wedding ring that I wear every single day.
It has never fallen off.
And I've worn it for probably 4 years straight. Like I keep it on my ring finger on my right hand all the time. It's never fallen off. I realized it wasn't there. And within probably 4 Mississippi seconds was in tears, was like, oh my God, I lost it at the wedding. It wasn't a small like indoor wedding. There was grass out. It was outdoors. There was grass. We got ready at a hotel. Well,
and that's what you were saying. It was like, I don't even know when it came off.
Yeah, because we were so busy that day. I didn't even take a moment to like look down at my fingers and see if my rings were there. And Alicia immediately was like, oh, well, let's turn around. And I was like, there's no point. It could have been the hotel.
Yeah.
It could have been like on the way to the car. It could be in the car. Like I don't know I have no idea where to even start. And so I just start sobbing, and then Taryn pulls up next to me. So
we're on our way back. I happen to drive too, so I pull up next to Ashley, and every time I pull up next to Ashley, I always just do like an awkward face, right?
As best friends do.
As we do.
It's kind of a requirement.
So I look sideways, and first I make eye contact with Alicia, and she was making a weird face, and then I look over at Ashley, and I was like, what? So we roll our windows down and I yell out, is she crying? And Ashley looks over at me and is like ugly sobbing.
My
like,
face was just sobbing. Devastated.
So my first thought, I don't think I even told you this, my first thought was like, oh, she's sad because like marriage, like we watched a wedding. And she
so
was
single,
like,
poor me.
So single.
Yeah.
But then she goes, I lost my ring. And I was like, okay. And literally instantly I knew which ring it was, because all of your rings have meaning.
Why would you cry about any other ring?
And even like, I mean, we have gotten jewelry at different countries we've traveled to, and those are so important and like would be so devastating if you lost
it
them.
It would be a huge bummer.
But I knew, I was like, it's her grandma's ring, because
I was like,
you were
heaving,
sobbing.
Crying. It wasn't like a little, oh my God, our friendship ring, you know, like so, I'd be sad about that too, but shoot.
Yeah, we can buy more. Yeah, so like we kept driving. I passed her a couple times and she like was not letting up, just sobbing. So me being the two that I am.
Yeah.
It's moments like this where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm a
two. Wait, I want to set this part up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Taryn, like, she was driving next to us for a while, and then she disappeared. And I was just like, I assumed she was, you know, behind us or in front of us or whatever. And I was still talking to Alicia. Me and her were trying to pin the exact point of where we lost it. I was texting people who were still there. I was going to be like, hey, no pressure. Please do not drop everything and search the floor for my ring. But if you happen to find one, can you please hold on to it and give it to my other friend who could hold on to it for me? So I was in the middle of doing that, and I was so busy texting that I didn't even notice that Taryn had texted me like 10 minutes ago, I think. And I pulled up her text. She turned around and I just started like, if I wasn't crying before, I was just sobbing now.
When didn't Alicia start crying too?
Because Alicia was like feeling how much I loved that ring.
Your eyes, you know, are getting teary.
It was such a moment. And then Alicia started sobbing, and then we both started crying at how stupid we were for crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't deserve her. She's too good to me. Like she turned around, and you guys, we didn't like just start driving. Yeah, we'd been driving for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
And that means she turned around and drove 15 minutes back to the venue when we were both just like very tired from all, you know, bridesmaid duties.
Yeah.
And she turned around. Continue.
I'm going to take over. So yeah, I couldn't do it. It was like eating at me. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I know I probably won't find it, but like at least like she'll feel loved if I just, like, I'm just going to go look. So I text her. I was like, hey, I'm going to look. I'll let you know if I find anything. So she starts, like, flooding my texts, like, after a while. And she's like, no, it's fine. Like, don't do it. No, you're fine. And so I get all the way to the venue. I was, like, praying. I was like, God, just, like, please. I know you're busy.
I know you got things but,
like,
to do.
If you could please just, like, clear my eyes, help me to just like find it and see it, whatever. And so I get to the venue and the wedding coordinator was just pulling up. She's like, heard about Ashley's ring. I'm going to look too.
Yeah.
So we walk in and the guy who like owns the property, he walks up. He's like, hey, can I help you? And I was like, yeah, like we were just here. My friend lost a ring. It's her grandma's ring. I was like, is there any way I can just look? And he goes, oh, he's like, we just swept the entire grounds, like the grass, the cement. We swept everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I was like, well, if you don't mind, like, can I still just like look for a minute? And he was like, yeah, of course. And he walks back up. He goes, oh, you got me with the grandma's ring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know. I was like, here. I was like, let me give you my number. Like, call me if you find anything. So we do that. And then I go first on the grass. I like walk up and down where all the tables were with my flashlight on. Yeah. And I'm like, please, Jesus, please, Jesus, please, Jesus. Then I go to the dance floor, which was just cement. Mm-hmm. And literally, like, I'm shining my flashlight and I see the tiniest, tiniest little, like, twinkle, but it looked like glitter kind of.
Yeah. It's because a very small ring.
Yeah. It was in, like, all the way inside a crack. So even when I got closer, all I saw was, like, a gold speck.
Yeah.
So I had to, like, dig my finger, got dirt all up in my fingernails, like, dug into this crack and, like, was able to, like, grab it. And I pull it out. And it's this tiny little gold ring that is pretty beat up. But I was like, no freaking way. Like, is this it? Like, is this it? And I was so nervous. So I start sending Ashley pictures and I'm like, I don't want you to get your hopes up, but like, I think I might have found it. Like, what do you think? Does this look normal? Like, it's pretty scratched up. And
yeah. She sends me these pictures and I'm not kidding, guys. I almost didn't recognize it.
Yeah.
I was like, that does not look like it. But like, I couldn't think. I was like, either someone else happened to lose a tiny little gold ring or it's mine. So she grabbed it, obviously. And, you know, happy ending. It's my ring.
Yeah. So Ashley FaceTimes me even uglier sobbing and doesn't even speak. Like, Alicia's just talking.
I just stared. I just made like eye contact with her via like, FaceTime. And I was like, you're such a good friend. I don't deserve you. And I was being so like, there's no way.
Yeah.
It's long gone. I'll never get it back. And it was just so funny.
It was a cool moment. Like, that stuff really doesn't cool happen, moment. You know? So.
Yeah, it was really weird. If you guys want, we'll prove it for you. I'm sure I can find a photo of the ring before. The after photo is
a little wonky.
Yeah, it's like a really good before and after.
It got some stomp. It was probably me stomping on it.
I mean, think of all the people.
Yeah.
Like, at least 130 pounds plus. You know, at least 130 pounds. All the heels.
Stomping away.
Just stomping away. Like, dancing their heart out, you know? I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, but, anyway, long story short, we got my ring back.
Long story short, but we've been talking for 15 minutes.
The whole story. Man, that was great.
Good times.
That was a great story.
It was happy time.
If you guys haven't yet, you should definitely like, rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast. Mm-hmm. If you consider yourself part of the UA family, then just do it. You know,
just do it.
It's part of it's how you become a UA fam.
Yeah.
Is when you're not a part of the fam, share and subscribe this episode, this podcast, then you're part of the UA fam. So,
and if you don't feel like you are yet, do it anyways, because we asked you.
Do it and then you will be.
Because
peer pressure
asked you. So I got a message on Instagram from Sarah Gonzalez 14.
Hello, Sarah Gonzalez.
She says, hey, sorry to correct Taryn, but Push It to the Limit isn't High School Musical. It's from Jump In. LOL.
Oh,
I was like, oh, right when she said that too, I was like,
shoot.
She's so right.
Good on you for correcting her.
Thank you for fact checking me.
Yeah, we need that.
I will be the first to admit when I get something wrong.
And you
no
got it
shame
wrong.
In my game.
You got it wrong.
I
What's hilarious
wrong.
Is I would not know the difference. I don't think I've seen either of them.
It's the jump in is the one with, I don't remember, Corden or something. And he has like the long afro-y hair and he does jump rope. Hmm. It wasn't like a popular one. It wasn't like High School Musical.
Okay.
We also got a message from John Duran, who, Katie from church. singer, Katie Duran.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Her brother messaged us.
Oh, stop.
And said that his girlfriend is a huge fan of us, and she's turning 18. So he asked if we could give a shout out. So her name is Vanessa.
Vanessa.
And Vanessa, your boyfriend's adorable, and we love you, and we hope your birthday is amazing.
Happy birthday,
and
babe.
And we hope you kill this 18th year of your life. It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good year. It is a good one.
I remember really liking 18.
Yeah.
A lot, actually. So, yeah.
18 was great.
Get ready. Buckle up.
I think I'm going to share a story that I've never told my parents.
Oh, my God. Do I know it? Oh,
they're going to be very ashamed of me.
Oh, doubt it.
They're probably going to. My dad's going to. I already know. He's just going to shake his head.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When I turned 18, one of my guy friends was like, "You're 18. Let's go buy a cigar." So I was like, "Okay." So we went and bought a cigar. And bottom line, I don't think I did it right because my mom had to take me to the hospital the next morning.
Why?
Because I couldn't breathe. I had like a reaction, and I just remember being so ashamed. And my mom was like, "Honey,
ashamed,
like, taking care of me because I didn't tell her why." I was like,
"Oh!"
I literally woke up and was like,
"She probably thought you had like bronchitis wheezing. Or something."
Yeah, and then she walked out of the room for a second, and then I told the doctor, and she was like, "Okay, like you didn't react well with the smoke," and she's like, "You didn't do it right." I was like, "Okay, well, that was the first and last time I ever smoked." So.
That's hilarious.
Good time.
I'm surprised you went with cigar because isn't that lotto age?
Yeah, but it was my guy friend. He was all into cigars.
I remember being like, yeah, I'm going to win the lotto. And
I should have done that. I could be rich.
Some tickets and was like, yep, that's the last time I'll buy.
Instead, I had to go to the ER. So that's what I got. So cool. Do you have any DMs? Or should we just jump in?
I think we should just jump in.
I feel like our story covered.
Yeah, our story kind of was, you know, the...
All the entertainment you guys need.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to let you go first because I went first last time.
Oh, that seems fair. That seems fair. Well, I'll hit you guys with the title and then I will... Oh, my gosh. This thing... Sorry. I have a can of yerba mate tea that's empty and fell over and scared Terrence.
It scared me. That was my gasp.
So I'll hit you guys with the title. This one is called Best Friend Betrayal. Dun, dun, dun.
I would never betray you.
Drama.
Everyone right now was like, "Oh, my podcast stopped." Little did you know, we were just staring into each other's eyes.
I was just nodding. I was like, "That's right. That's right." Okay, we'll take a short break and come back with a story.
BRB.
Burb.
Hello, everyone. It's Taryn
and Ashley
from Unsolicited Advice. And if you want to listen to our show without ads, you can now.
Just go to unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a one-week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too. That's unsolicitedadvice.supercast.com.
What? Okay, we're back. You've never read BRB as burb?
No.
Or LOL is lol?
Oh, lol, I say all the time.
Well, burb is the same.
It just was like burb.
You reacted so just like, what?
I've never
like,
heard that.
You've
it was
never
funny.
Read it as burb?
It's not like burb. It's not like an
I'm going to say it one more time.
An appetizing sounding word.
Burb.
Burb. I don't know. Like, it just makes me think of a burp.
And a bird.
And being cold. I have the hiccups.
God, okay. We're getting into the story. Again, this one is titled Best Friend Betrayal. And she starts off with, "Hi, Ashley and Taryn."
She's all happy. Then it's going to go downhill. Yeah. I'm ready.
First off, I love, all caps, love your guys' podcast.
Aww.
You guys put a smile on my face every time I listen. So.
Do you know what I just thought of?
What?
I'm so sorry.
I was like mid-sentence,
I'm so
Taryn.
Sorry. But I just like thought of the fact like we've never read a story from someone twice. Do you know how many people we've already like read their stories?
You're right. We haven't read a story twice. Except for our update episode, but it was like
that's
different.
That's crazy though. Like that's a lot of people. What
that
episode
is a lot
are we
of people.
On? 38?
38, I think, yeah.
Times like two plus all the like tearing it ups, plus all the like
all the shorts
and dad jokes.
Wow,
and
we're good at this.
Oh my gosh.
We give a lot of advice.
We have a big fam.
Yeah, we do.
Sorry, UA fam. I had a moment where I was like, wow. Okay, please continue. It's the energy
she
drink.
She says it really is. So here's the deal, dot, dot, dot.
Uh-oh.
I've been getting my feelings hurt by who I consider to be one of my best friends. For the past couple of months, over and over again, I just want to know if I am being unreasonable. It has to do with the fact that she still chooses to hang around my ex when she knows that I don't like it.
Ooh.
She's married, pretty unhappily, because it is a volatile relationship and always has been ever since I've known her for 8 years now. And I know nothing would ever be going on with my ex and her. He's also currently in another relationship. Her husband is pretty close with my ex, but he met both of them through me. There was a time that her husband and my ex weren't as close due to a falling out between a mutual friend of theirs, and my ex chose to side more with the other friend. But now everything is hunky-dory with them, and they hang out all the time. We used to live in the same city, but now I live an hour and a half away, so we don't get to see each other as much as I'd like, but we used to do everything together. Work, sports, hang out, vacation, celebrate holidays / birthdays, etc.
Her and her best
friend? Her and her best friend.
Okay, okay.
Now it seems like they are doing all of these things without me, and instead of me, it's my ex and his girlfriend. I told her that it's not fair that he gets to hang out with her more than I do, and she was like, end quotes, I know, I just do it because my husband for some reason loves him, end quote.
Nah.
A couple of months ago, she got mad at my ex because she felt like he was telling her husband something which caused her and her husband to argue. She puts in parentheses, which is a very common occurrence. She called me after this happened and vented all about how my ex did this and that she can't stand to talk to him or even be around him. Then, not even a week after this conversation, they all go to a concert together, which I only knew about through other friends' social media because she was not going to say anything. I hate when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a conversation with someone and then you see through something else that they're doing something that they said they probably wouldn't. And you're just like, wait, if you said this, why are you? And then you find out from someone else, because it just, whether it's intentional or not, it makes them look like they're hiding it from
you. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Sketch.
No, not a fan.
Then, right after that, just her and her husband and my ex go to the Keys together. Florida Keys.
Keys on Van Nuys.
Not Hollywood. The vacation Keys. This was right around my birthday, which she didn't even come to because she was busy with her husband's birthday, which is understandable, I guess. When she wished me happy birthday, she could sense something was wrong, so I told her everything that I just told you.
Okay.
Good for you.
Good for you.
She apologized and said she doesn't have anyone here, no friends at all, and her husband planned this Keys trip, and she just got to tag along, and that the concert wasn't even fun. She promised to be a better friend and make up the time and meet up just one-on-one. That was like 3 months ago. Fast forward to today. We've met up a total of 2 times. Her birthday just passed. Usually she wants her husband to plan it so she's not the one planning her own birthday, so I texted him about a week and a half before her birthday to find out what the plans were. He told me he wasn't sure what they were going to do and that he was going to do some brainstorming. Then he texted me the next day that he was thinking about making sushi at their house the Friday after her birthday. Her birthday falls on a Tuesday this year. Then he texts me the next day saying what time to be there. Now comes the weekend before her birthday, and what do I see? Everyone's celebrating my best friend's birthday without me, my ex and his new girlfriend included.
Oh.
Ouch. Mind you, I don't see it on her social media because she didn't post anything, but I see it on mutual friends' social media. Which, again, it doesn't look good. Whether it's intentional or not, it just doesn't look good.
Because you're going to post stuff when it's your birthday.
It's your birthday, yeah. Mm. I'm just hurt and angry and confused. Look, I know that there will be times when they hang out because they all live in the same city and I don't. But for a birthday celebration, I would have never missed it. I only missed it because I wasn't invited. I feel like they threw a pity invite for me, more likely the sushi thing at their house will be just me and her husband and kids, and is only being done because my ex got invited to the real birthday celebration. Oof. What can I do at this point? She knows how upset this makes me, but it continues to happen. Am I being unreasonable for wanting a little loyalty from my best friend? I know for a fact that if it was the other way around, she would be upset too.
Yeah.
And you can totally say my name if you want. It doesn't matter to me. Thanks for listening.
What was her name?
Did I say her name in the beginning? Huh.
You didn't put her name on there?
I don't think I put her name. It's a habit that I have. Unless you guys actually put your name in the email, I always cut your email off so I don't read it by accident.
Does that make sense? It makes sense.
Anyway.
So this is unintentionally anonymous.
Unintentionally anonymous. But wow. Wow.
I
really felt that one.
I can relate to that so freaking hard.
Oof, yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of places we can go with this, but we can just kind of like ping pong back and forth. I feel like you are handling this very well. I feel like you have, it seems like you have a lot of wisdom and you're being very empathetic and understanding to her having to deal with this guy being her husband's best friend.
Yeah.
So the fact that you are even aware of and okay with them hanging out sometimes is just, I think, amazing. So
yeah.
The fact that she hasn't seemed to, what's the word? Sacrifice even a little bit on her part really looks bad.
Yeah, it is. But especially, like, it's cool that she, like, came out and said it. Like, not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, the fact that you already told her about it and all of this is still going on. I do want to, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here for a second. The husband planned the birthday, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If that's what he normally does and didn't invite her. So I'm guessing, especially since their marriage isn't great from what it sounds like, I'm guessing he has a lot to do with this. So... But even then, like, if we give him 50% of the blame, there's still 50% on the wife as well.
Yeah.
So it just really sucks that she's not even talking about this with you. I feel like if she was being like, hey, he's throwing me a birthday party and he didn't invite you. I'm so sorry this happened. Or even if she found out, if it was a surprise and she found out after, she should have hit you up and been like, I don't know why the hell he didn't invite you, but let's go do something me and
you.
That would have made it so much better.
Oh, the second been like, you talk about it, it's like, oh, okay. You know
but
what I mean?
Her, and, you know, maybe she's a nine. Maybe she hates confrontation. But her not saying anything about it really makes it look like she's on board with it, whether or not that's true. And I don't like that for you.
Yeah.
Anonymous.
Girl, let me just say, I can relate to this. So freaking intense. So me and my ex... When we were dating, he had a brother. I introduced my best friend to his brother. Literally, they started dating right as we broke up. So it actually created a rift in our friendship because she was always around and like it put her in a weird position. And we like ended up making up. She still is one of my best friends. Like, I love her to death. But I will say... And that's even harder because she's like married into the family. So it's like you can't get away with that. Like this situation, it's like it is not completely her choice because it is like the husband who's friends with them. Mm-hmm. Still frustrating, but I definitely went through hell.
Yeah.
I remember the first birthday party that happened. It was at my ex's house. I showed up. I just got Charlie, my pup.
Oh.
I showed up because I was still trying to navigate, like, I want to be here for you as a friend, but, like, this is awkward. I showed up. My ex was there. There was this girl I was suspicious about. She was there, and they were kind of, like, all over each other. I kept a smile on my face. It was a surprise party, so, like, she wasn't there yet.
She's the one you're there for.
Yeah. Politely excused myself, walked outside into the alley, saw his car that still had where I had written a heart and Taryn on it, dirt, was still on his car. That's how fresh the breakup was.
Oh, my God.
Saw that.
You mean like the dust on the window?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This guy.
Saw his car.
started crying hysterically, threw up, all while holding my puppy, and my dog was just looking at me like, what is happening? Threw up, wiped my face, wiped my tears, took a couple breaths, walked back in for the surprise, and then like left right after that.
Yeah.
And that was where I realized like life is not going to be the same.
No.
There are her kids' birthdays I haven't been invited to, some of her own birthdays I haven't been invited to, because it's just a weird dynamic.
It's just so weird. It's
my
weird.
Advice to you is, you have to just accept that it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna suck. Yeah. And for whatever reason, like, things are gonna get messy. Communication is gonna be messy. So on your end, you're gonna have to realize that, like, you're not going to be invited to everything, and that it's not, she's in a weird position too.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to just, like, realize that there's gonna be times where you're hurt and it's gonna suck.
Yeah.
On the flip side, though, what Ashley already alluded to, she's gonna have to like really make effort to make you feel loved and supported.
Yeah.
And to do sometimes where it's like they're all going out somewhere and she says, hey, like, you guys go have fun, I'm gonna go make plans with someone else. Or she's got to talk to her husband and be like, hey, I know this is a weird situation, but she's always invited. Like, I don't want her being left out. It's her choice if she wants to come and feel uncomfortable.
She has a best friend.
But she's always invited.
Yeah.
So it's got to be like you were saying, like, there's got to be sacrifices on both ends.
On both ends.
But just speaking personally from being you in a situation, like, you've just got to be like, there were so many times where I'd see pictures like of her, her like son turned one, and I was like, it like loved him, was a part of his life, but I couldn't go because like my ex was there with like his new girlfriend or wife or whatever it was at that time, and I had to see that, and I totally would get my feelings hurt, but I had to be like, this is not about me, and it's weird for her too, like, so I'll just make a time where I can go like give him a present like on my own, or like celebrate on my own.
Yeah.
So that's my advice, because I feel you,
dude,
and it's such an unfortunate, like, exes should be like exes and gone.
It should be. Yeah.
Just freaking gone. Yeah. Like, that's it.
Not intertwined in your everyday life.
No.
It really sucks. I completely agree with Taryn. I think, and I don't know the friend, I don't know, you know, where she stands or her personality at all, but it really feels like you, the writer anonymous here, it feels like you're doing everything right by sharing your feelings. So the next thing I would do is I would talk to her again and just be like, hey, I understand your situation and that sucks and I'm so sorry, and if you ever need to vent about it or talk about it, I'm here for you. As your friend, though, I'm feeling very much pushed aside. So you, like, the two of you need to figure out a way to prioritize your friendship. Otherwise, I'm, you know, really worried about it not working out or lasting very long, because it's hard because that's her husband, and that's her husband's best friend. So it makes sense for her. She does need to prioritize him to an extent, you know, but her speaking up for you and making sure you at least get invited is very important. And if things like that happen, which it sounds like they do and they probably will continue to, then she needs to make sure that she's talking to you along the way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it just makes it look like she knows and is on board.
Yeah, and a best friendship is a relationship.
It
like,
is.
You have to tell, people need to be more open about like how they need to feel loved. Yeah. And like me and Ashley have done that where we've told each other like, hey, like we just had a conversation the other day.
We really did.
Where I was like, hey, when I tell you like so-and-so did this and like it bothered me.
Yeah.
Like Ashley's a 9, so she always responds with, don't worry about it, it's fine. Like she didn't mean it. And so I told her, I was like, sometimes like in that situation, I feel like my feelings aren't valid.
Yeah.
And I was like, honestly, all you need to respond is like, that sucks. And she goes, oh, done. Okay. Like,
I could do
okay.
that.
Yeah, but she's like, I could do that.
In my head, it's really hard for me to not see the other person's side.
Yeah.
Because I get it. I feel it.
Well, I'm just like, you're helping. You're being like, oh, well, let me help her understand that like it's probably not a big deal.
Yeah, I'll be like, oh,
totally.
She's going through this. She didn't mean it that way. Don't take it personally. Like, I guarantee that's not how it felt, when all Taryn wants me to do is be on her side.
Yeah.
So like,
But you would have never known that if I wouldn't have said it.
No.
So you can't hold someone else accountable to making you feel a certain way if you haven't verbalized it.
Yeah. So you can't get mad at her.
Yeah.
Which obviously you did talk to her about it. So that's good. And I think that's important. But I think you need to one more time talk about it and be very specific about what you need.
Fully.
Just be like, hey, if we are to remain friends, you can't be having parties or going out socially with my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And not like at least tell me beforehand or explain why I wasn't invited to your birthday party.
Yeah, because I'm sure if she would have been like, hey, just so you know, have to go to this concert with freaking Dillhole. Like, I'm not going to enjoy it, but like whatever. Then it's like she knows like, oh, like, they're hanging out. Yeah. She sees stuff. She's like, whatever.
And maybe that's excessive. Like, she shouldn't. I don't think she should have to text you every time.
No.
But if it's something that involves you in any way.
Yeah.
She needs to reach out. Because that
was the concert. Was they were supposed to hang out or something. And then, right? Or something.
No, they went out to a concert after they had a conversation about her ex.
Got it.
And how much she hated the ex. So.
But I know, like, one of my best friends was in that same group as my ex. So when we went through the breakup, that was hard for her. And she would be like, I won't go if you're uncomfortable. And I was like, no, like, I'm trying to be realistic. Like, it's a party, of course, like, you and your boyfriend are gonna go because you're friends with everyone. But she always did such a good job of just being like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm at this party here, like, he looks horrible or something. But you know what I mean? She'd be like, just so you know, like, and so in those moments, I would be like, it sucks that, like, she's there and I can't be there and, like, life is just continuing on without me.
Yeah.
Because when you're the one who, like, can't show up, but you're like, why does he get to go and, like, have fun?
Yeah.
But, like, in those moments when she would just say those tiny little statements to me, it made me feel like, okay.
And
like,
what sucks is this was her best friend's birthday.
I know.
Not that's her horrible. Best friend's husband.
Yeah.
So that's why, as a 9, I'm picking up on it feels like the husband has a lot to do with this. So that does make me feel bad for the friend.
Yeah.
Because she must honestly be in a really tough situation. Because if that was, you know, if that's her birthday, her best friend should be there. Yeah. Not the husband's best friend.
And that's why I think, I can't remember if you said it or I said it, but like having... Like, she should even have a conversation with her husband and be like, hey,
like, hey, this thanks is for weird the birthday for both party, of us,
but
why didn't you invite my best? That'd be like Alicia throwing me a party and not inviting you.
Yeah.
I'd be like, this was so great. Thank you.
Where's Taryn?
You know, like, could she not make it? That would be my automatic response.
Yeah.
Is I'd look around and I'd be like, okay.
I'm confused.
Where's Taryn? Yeah. Is she okay?
Yeah.
Because she should be here.
And like, she should have, even if they're like, oh, but I think she's going to be uncomfortable. Like, the invite should be still be extended. And like how I went to that thing
that
and had my
choice.
Throwing up incident. Like, I still like made that choice to be like, no, I'm going to go as long as I can. And then I left.
Like, if he had invited her, she probably wouldn't have gone to the birthday party.
Yeah. Been like,
but
hey,
she
I'll just come next
been
Friday.
Invited.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree.
The husband.
Ooh, I'm sorry. It's a really sucky situation to be in, but I think if you do take emotion out of it as much as you can and just be like, hey, this is awkward for all of us, you know, but be clear on what you need.
Yeah.
That's
and to answer your question, I don't think you're being unreasonable in any way.
No.
I do think you understand her side very well. So I think when you talk to her about the situation, just make it very clear that you understand that she's in a sticky spot. Like, make it clear that you understand how difficult this is for her, so that she doesn't feel like you're just brushing it aside and just being mad
fully.
At her. And I think she'll accept that a lot easier if you make it clear that you get that this is hard.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for sending that in.
Sorry, we don't know your name.
I'm sorry. I messed that up. That was on me, guys. I'm so sorry about that. I really hope that you have that conversation and that it goes well for you.
I feel like we always do the opposite where we're like afraid we're going to say it when they don't want it. And then now it's like she wants it, but we don't know.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. So
that was good.
That was great.
Yeah.
I feel like that's very relatable.
And, I feel like a lot of emails that we get has to do with friendships. Like, we do get a lot of dating, but we do get a lot of friendship ones as well. So I guarantee you there's a lot of people listening right now are just like, wow, wait, same. I'm in the same boat. Or, oh, I need to have that conversation with my friend about a completely different topic, but same conversation.
Yeah.
So I think you're helping a lot of people by sharing your story.
And we're very... we're very, I feel like we have a very healthy relationship, and
I think we do.
And we're very honest about like where we struggle and where we whatever. And so I think it's like, especially friendship ones, I'm always like confident for us to tackle it. Cause let's talk about it.
Yeah.
This is what we've done. And like, blah, blah, blah.
In like a completely selfish way, I feel like this is very like friend therapy for the two of us.
Oh yeah. Cause
I'm like listening to that and I'm just like, oh yeah. I need to be more like, yeah, like if not like I'm in that specific situation, because obviously not. But like if something like that were to happen, I'm learning along with you guys what I should and shouldn't do. So for you and for me.
Good times.
Great times.
Again, like Mark said the other day, we just use this podcast to
This is a very this is actually all about us. This has nothing to do with you guys.
Actually, like no one's sending in emails. We write these every week.
Imagine the plot thickens and we're emailing ourselves.
I've been saying that I want to do one where but I feel like I've told you like absolutely every story of mine, because it would have been funny if I ever typed one up and told like read it as my own and heard you give advice, and then I'm like, surprise, it's
surprise,
me.
That was me. Yeah, that would just be wow.
I tell you too much though.
Yeah, I don't think it would work.
I don't think it would work either. You'd be like, this is you. You'd be like, I remember I was there.
You would have to have someone else write it for you.
Yeah.
Especially with your wording and stuff. I feel like I'd pick up on that.
Yeah, you would. Totally.
Just to guess.
Okay. I am actually, preface. I'm excited about this one. I'm not excited about what she's going through.
Okay.
But I actually learned a lot about this one because I researched it, because it was something that it was a term I wasn't familiar with. And I really feel like it's good advice for her, but it also is something we should be aware of.
Okay. Love that.
It's called The Art of Losing Oneself to Gaslighting.
Ooh.
Are you familiar with that term?
Is it? I've definitely heard it before. I think it's when someone else has the spotlight. Like it's all about them. Is that right?
Maybe, but it's like the psychological term's a little different. Okay. But I love this because you're going to learn too. Because okay. I was like, wait, I haven't heard of that.
Great. I'm going to sit back and just absorb and the wisdom.
But before that, listen to these ads.
Oh, I forgot.
buy all the things. Bye. Welcome back.
To the podcast. Yeah, a happy ad break.
We're on the home stretch, Ash.
We're almost there.
Do you know what home stretch means?
Baseball.
Ah, proud of you.
I did softball for a hot minute.
I did softball.
I softballed. I know what that is.
I played softball. I did it.
I did it until I broke my tooth.
Do you think it'd be weird if I started wearing my CAF ring? Just
absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Just that. Oh, okay.
It wouldn't be, I mean, you know,
I'm gonna post a photo at UA.
And you didn't do you didn't do softball in college or anything?
No. Fun fact. So my first week of college, I there's a very big separation between high school softball and college softball.
Absolutely, yeah. That makes
college
sense.
Softball is intense. They're beasts. They eat, sleep, drink, softball. They're really intense. I have always been someone who's like weirdly good at things, but doesn't like pursue it enough to actually like master it.
Yeah.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
I feel like I'm the same, actually.
Yeah. So my first week of college, I was walking and I see this group of very intimidatingly like bulky, like intense looking females walking towards me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get jumped on my first week of school. Like, oh dear God. Jeez. They walk up. They're like, hey, you a slinger? And I was like, yes. And they were like, we heard you were on a CAF softball team. What position you play? And I was like, second base. And they're like, all right, like our coach told us to find you. Like, we want you to like come out for softball. And I said, oh, no, thank you. And I just walked away. We actually like became like friends later, and they were like, that was the weirdest interaction. Yeah. But I was just like, no, like I just was not into it. I wanted to have fun in college,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And like that's sports in high school is different than college is a commitment. That's a full on.
Oh, it's a full commitment.
You are like training.
Yeah.
And eating, breathing, like everything is all about that. Yeah. And no,
nope.
I love music so much. I did music all through high school. Thought it was going to be my major.
Yeah.
Walked in and
she
was
just
like,
giggles.
Hell no. Like, yep. No, thank you. And it's nothing against taking it that seriously or being a major, but like that for me specifically, that would have just crushed my passion for it. Like, it was way too intense. And no, I was like, you know what? I love it and I'm going to continue to do it, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Sometimes I regret, like, because I was always like good at dance, but I never like pursued dance.
Yeah.
And I'm like obsessed with watching dance videos. And I'm like, Sharon Renee.
She watches it all the time.
Oh, all the time. I'm like, why didn't you like put time and effort into it? Because now I went to a dance class. Shout out Kyle Hanagami.
Hello.
I fangirled so freaking hard. I got to go to one of his classes.
Yes.
I sucked like horribly. Actually, I kept up until like the second eight count, and then I was like, I can't. I gotta go see him.
It's hard,
back.
Especially for his class.
Oh, and it was an expert class.
There are professional dancers that end up in music videos for artists.
Yeah.
In the class. So,
but
it's
I watch his stuff all the freaking time.
Yeah.
And like, I watch choreo videos for hours at a time.
It's really her hobby.
I knew that studio. Like, I walked in and was like, oh my God, because I like have watched music videos in that studio.
Yeah.
And so I was standing and just watching people dance. I was glossy eyed the whole time. I was like so in awe. And then like the video came out for it and you see me in the background.
Oh.
And I look like such a goob, but like I was so.
It doesn't matter.
I just would love to be his best friend.
It doesn't matter.
Let's try to get him to hear this. Hi, Kyle.
At Kyle.
Be my best friend. Okay. Anywho. Wait, what part are we on?
Your story.
Oh my God, it's almost over. I need to tell my story. I forgot where we were for a second.
I'm just looking at you like, it's your turn.
Anytime turn. Okay.
Wrap it up, Taryn.
This is called The Art of Losing Oneself to Gaslighting. So don't worry if you're like, what is that? I feel you. I didn't really know either, but
neither,
I will get
apparently.
Into that after. Hey, Ashley and Taryn.
Hey.
Hi. Since I began listening to your podcast, I was too scared to write you, but I finally gained the courage to share.
Atta girl.
We're going to take a
moment. We're so proud of you.
To recognize that.
Yeah.
Because that's so cool.
Yeah, it really is.
That's such a huge step.
It really is.
I love that. And especially for like, anyway, I don't want to get into it. She said, while I am nervous about sharing this, and I just want to say, someone shared with me the other day, they were like, people always feel like I'm afraid to do it, so I won't do it, or I need to somehow like not be afraid in order to like do it. And it was this, I can't remember where this quote is from, but they were saying like, no, like do it afraid. And I remember I heard that and I was like, oh, that's so brilliant. Like sometimes like being scared is just a reality. And instead of just like trying to suppress it or push it down, like take that step and be like, I'm afraid right now, but like I'm going to do it anyways.
Well,
like do it afraid.
That's what I feel like everyone says, like to take a step of faith, but like faith can't work unless you're taking a step.
Yeah.
And that step will be scary.
Yeah.
Like it's unseen.
Yeah.
It's not taking a step of faith if you know the outcome.
Yeah.
So if it's the only time you can take a step of faith is if you're taking a risk.
Yeah.
And you don't know how it's going to work out.
I love that. I've been waiting to use that to someone, like just to be like, if they're like, oh, I'm too scared, to be like, do it afraid. Like,
yeah.
I love that.
It's
I love simple like statements like that, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's nervous about sharing this. She says, I hope it will help others who are going through a similar situation. I'm in my early 20s and have been dating my boyfriend for just over 2 years. We attend the same college and we recently decided to move in together. I have always thought of relationships as a Disney fairy tale, but I quickly had to let go of that idea, which like that hit me because I was like, it's so hard when you hear people that are like, oh, I've always dreamed of my fairy tale, but like, that's not reality. And it's like, there should be a healthy balance of like, real life is messy, but I feel like you shouldn't let go of that hope of like being in love and like having those butterflies. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do.
But
I think
Disney fairy tale, like, yeah, it's like, I'm not going to go out and sing and birds are going to like make me get a pie. And
yeah, specifically the way she worded it. I'm like, you shouldn't think of it that way. But yes, we do.
But
love.
But it still is like, you know, that's a hard thing to like let go of that. Over the last few years, I have felt controlled by an outside force that I could not identify. But many in my life believe I am a victim of gaslighting from a significant other. My boyfriend had suffered a major brain injury a few years ago and has been diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and PTSD. He implements a ton of double standards in our relationship, and I am expected to take on most of the tasks around the apartment and help him through school between classes and appointments. I am willing to do anything for another individual, especially for someone I care about, but I have just reached the point where I feel run down and I have nothing left to offer. I do everything for him, but I still do not receive appreciation, and I am compared to others in his life. I know you're not supposed to compare yourself with others, but in this type of situation, I don't know how to stop. I know people tell me to end my relationship with him, but for whatever reason, I feel guilty for thinking of such a thing or disappointed with myself for not being able to do more. I was hoping you could offer some outsider advice. This can be a challenging and emotional topic, but I hope my vulnerability will have an impact on others who are experiencing similar things in their lives. Love, Anonymous.
Wow.
I know. That's heavy.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. So I think before we even offer advice, because it's hard to offer advice when you're like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I'm going to give just the definition of it.
Yes, please.
And then we can talk about the story, and then I'll give like, there's, I really like, I think I got this one. Yeah. From Psychology Today. They give like a list of like things to look for you to be like, oh yeah, like I'm in one of those situations.
Love that.
So gaslighting is a tactic in which a person or entity, in order to gain more power, makes the victim question their reality. It works much better than you may think. Anyone is susceptible to gaslighting, and it is a common technique of abusers, dictators, narcissists, and cult leaders. It is done slowly so the victim doesn't realize how much they've been brainwashed. For example, in the movie Gaslight, a man manipulates his wife to the point where she thinks she's losing her mind. So it's basically like a manipulation tactic that's used for someone to like gain power over another person.
Okay.
And to like control them, but not just them, but like the way they think, the way they act, like every aspect of them is like so that they're in control and like they can make that person serve them.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Extremely manipulative.
Oh, like manipulation is like the key.
Of manipulative.
Yes. Yes. So with that being said, and it sounds like there's a lot going on in these scenarios because, yeah. I mean, with brain injuries, sometimes it can completely alter someone's personality.
Yeah.
And PTSD and depression, like all those things like come with so many added pressures. But if you hear like there's certain things that she says that like broke my heart because she's like, I feel run down. I have nothing left to offer. I feel guilty. I feel disappointed with myself for not being able to do more. Like she is having so much weight left on her and it's all based off of like, I'm not doing enough for him. It's all like back to him, you know, which is one of like the signs when like everything has to do with that person.
Yeah. I was going to that. It's that made me think of a couple people I know who were siblings of their brother or sister who had some kind of disorder.
Yeah.
How often they felt guilty for ever even like putting themselves first, like once, twice, whatever.
Yeah.
Because of the sibling.
Yeah.
Just not being able to because of the situation.
Yeah.
First of all, I think it's really important that that Anonymous realizes that all of those emotions and all of those feelings are so valid and so normal. Especially when there's mental health involved, or any kind of thing like that, it's absolutely completely normal to feel guilty.
Yeah.
Because if you ever have a moment of humanness or a moment of anything self-related, even just one, it makes you feel upset at yourself because you're like, I'm doing this, but they can't, or I'm doing this when I should be helping them, or any situation like that.
Yeah.
It's so normal to be and feel guilty.
Yeah.
And it's not right. I'm not saying it's right, but I hope you're not being too hard on yourself for thinking that way, because I feel like I would, you know?
And like, I think in a lot of situations where, you know, you have like a relationship with someone who has some type of disability, a lot of times there is like
it's not even. Like, mm-hmm. one person is having to give more. But the key thing, and what really stuck out to me in here, is she says she's doing everything and not feeling appreciated at all, and is constantly getting compared to other people and, like, being, like, torn down. And so that's one thing where it's like, I can get being like, oh, I feel worn down because I'm doing so much. But you keep doing that because you love that person, and, like, yeah. he still loves you and you feel fulfilled in that and relationship.
He's comparing her to other people that are in his life, yeah. right?
And that's one of the things, too, is that they make you feel like you're not doing a lot, and they'll try to make you feel that other people in their life feel the same way about
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Well, let me, okay, I'm going to read. So this is for you, Anonymous. First of all, I think you should, you mentioned that people in your life are saying that you should end the relationship. If there are people you trust and care about, don't be quick to dismiss that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be like, oh yeah, like, I'm going to, but, like, sit and listen to, like, what they have to say and, like, what the reasons are. And something, I don't even remember where we were the other day. We were talking to a friend who was like, no, I'm not going to do that, it's mean or something. And we were like, hey, what if, like, roles were reversed? Like, what if your best friend came to you with a scenario and yeah. was like, someone's doing this to me, what would you say? And she was like, I'd be pissed. And it was like, yeah, like, you got to think about, like, hear what they have to say, and then think about, if you had a friend telling you the same things, like, what would you say to them?
Yeah, and you don't have to act on it right away, but, no. like, sit with that.
Well, she lives take with
it him. In, it's, let it marinate, yeah. and then just be like, wait, yeah. how do I feel about this?
Totally.
You know, you don't have to necessarily do something the second they say break up with them. You don't have to break up with them, but you can sit there and process that and hear what they have to say, and you might be surprised.
Yeah.
That you might agree with them.
And that pressure of, like, I'm sure she feels like, I do everything for him. He's been through so much. If I leave him, what's going to happen to him?
Yeah.
And I get that. But that's also a lot of pressure to put on yourself. And hopefully he has other people in his life that would step up and support him.
Yeah.
But if you're in an unhealthy relationship and there's something toxic going on, you do have to think about yourself.
You, like, do.
You're not married. So you have to, like, think, okay, well, if I'm going to stay in this, like,
this is what the future would going? Look like yeah. for, you know, a while at least.
And I don't know, one thing my mom told me, and I mean, obviously every relationship is, like, different, but there was, like, one guy I liked so much and I was sad all the time. And she was like, Taryn, like, relationships, if you're with, like, the right person, like, it should feel like 80% fun and 20% work.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing life together, you're enjoying each other, you're filling each other up, but there's that stuff you got to work on. But, like, it shouldn't feel like it's, like, so heavy, or, like, the percentages are, like, all wacky, you yeah. know? Like, expect work, expect to put in work, but most of it should be loving someone and, like, doing life with them, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. And having this conversation with him, it's not selfish of you, because you want a good relationship for the both of you.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, talking to him, obviously I don't know the extent of his injury, but it sounds like he's still fully aware and fully capable yeah. of conversing with you and having a conversation. If he's able to do that, then he is also able to take responsibility for comparing you to other people. So I think what you should do is not be scared to have a very difficult conversation with him,
yeah.
because it sounds like he's capable of changing how he talks to you, how he treats you, and it also makes me wonder, if he's doing this to you, he might be doing it to other people too.
Yeah.
So I would, even though it's difficult, and I understand being scared to put this on him and have this conversation with him, this is for his,
yeah,
to better his life and his relationships with other people as well. It's actually not so much selfish as you'd think.
No,
So I would just talk to him and just be like, listen, if we want this to work, like, I need you to really step it up and pay attention to how you're treating me. It's not okay.
Yeah, it's not okay.
And it's okay for you. And I know it sucks when people have gone through injuries or they have a disability to do this to them, but they're also people too, and that's not fair how they're treating you.
Yeah.
And if they're treating you that way, maybe they're treating other people that way, and they need to know that it's not okay.
Yeah.
You know? So hopefully maybe you can speak, share some, shed some light?
Yeah, no, totally.
In his life?
So I'm just going to really quick read this. It's 11 warning signs of gaslighting. So this is something, especially for you, Anonymous, like you can just like listen to it. If you're like, oh my gosh, every single one of those is this, then I think, or anybody else listening, if you're like, oh my gosh, that literally describes my relationship, then I would seek, you know, have a conversation with someone you love and be like, hey, like, I feel like I'm in an unhealthy situation. And then, you know, couples counseling, yep, or even just talking to someone you love, having an honest conversation. But here are 11 signs. One, they tell blatant lies. You know, it's an outright lie. They're telling you with a straight face and you're confused of how they can be telling you this lie when you're like, I know they're lying, you know? Yeah. And they say that once they tell you a huge lie, you're not sure if anything they say is true, which keeps you feeling unsteady and off kilter, which is their goal.
Yeah.
Two, they deny they ever said something even though you have proof. It makes you start to question your own reality because you're like, I'm literally telling you, like, you said this, I have proof, but they're still sticking to their lie. So again, the more they do this, the more you start to question your reality and start to just accept theirs. Mm. Three, they use what is near and dear to you as ammunition. So you get in a fight, they know your points, and they like, we'll just go for them. So they'll tell you, you know, you'd be a worthy person if you only didn't have all of like the negative traits that like you already are insecure about.
So cruel.
Yeah. And they attack the foundation of your being. So it's like if you were to be like, I have this horrible relationship with my dad, and every fight they're like, you're just like your dad. It's like those, yeah, like they're targeting like those specific like instances, yeah, you know. Four, they wear you down over time. And they use the example of like a frog in boiling water. Like, have you heard that one? Like, yeah, if you if you throw a frog in hot water, they'll just jump out. But if you put a frog in cold water and just start to heat the temperature, it'll get to boiling and the frog will just die and never jump out because they don't feel the gradual change. Yeah. So it's something that they do over time. Five, their actions do not match their words. So when dealing with a person that gaslights, look at what they're doing rather than what they're saying. What they are saying means nothing. It's just talk. What they're doing is the issue. Mm-hmm. Six, they throw in a positive reinforcement every once in a while to confuse you. So it makes you be like, wait, maybe they aren't so bad because they said this nice thing. Yeah. So they said, look at what the positive thing they're telling you is. If it's something they're praising you for that has something to do with you serving them, that's a good sign. Wow. So like, oh, you know, you just were so amazing today the way you like did this for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a compliment about you.
It's like the Maslow's bell theory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yep. That's so terrible.
Yep. Seven, they know confusion weakens people. So they know people need a sense of stability and normalcy. So their goal is to uproot this and make you constantly question everything. Number eight, they project. So if they're a drug user or a cheater, they constantly accuse you of being a drug user or cheater. Mm-hmm. And that's so that you are having to constantly defend yourself and you're distracted from their own cheating behavior.
Yeah.
Number nine, they try to align people against you. So they use people in their life that will stand with them no matter what. And they use these people against you. So they make you feel like you don't know who to trust. And that leads you to just going right back to the person themselves. Mm-hmm. Which isolation gives you control. Number 10, they tell you or others that you are crazy. They know that if you question your insanity and they question your insanity, people will not believe you and will tell them or think that like they're the ones that's abusive or out of control. They'll just be like, oh, she's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And then 11, they tell you everyone is a liar, which is a manipulation technique. It makes people turn to the gaslighter for correct information, which isn't correct information at all.
Dang.
So those are very specific things. So that's something, marinate over that. If any of you are listening to this and are like, oh my gosh, I'm in this relationship, please, please seek someone you trust and just be like, hey, this is a lot honest of information thoughts I need to process. Yeah. Do you feel like I'm in this situation? And then move on from there.
Dude, that's terrifying.
That was a lot, but I think it's helpful.
No,
to know.
It's very true. I've known a few people who's, and this obviously is a completely different situation, but who had a boyfriend that was cheating on them. And I'm not kidding, that like the second they got off work, the boyfriend would call. Mm-hmm. Like immediately, or the girlfriend would call immediately because they're like, where are you? What are you doing? You didn't text me yet. Because they're so paranoid of them cheating because that's what they do.
Yep.
And it's It's so crazy how manipulative they'll be because they'll make you feel guilty for not doing that. It's so interesting.
Oh, it's super interesting. All this to say, everyone, we got to take care of ourselves. You got to be aware. And if you're in an unhealthy situation, don't think about like, because for her, it's like, oh, I got to move out. I got to find a new place. I got to this. But just take little baby steps, like set little goals and like start to like take steps to get yourself in a healthy situation.
Maybe start slowly, not all at once if you don't want to cause a huge fight, but maybe slowly start standing up for yourself.
Yeah.
Once a day, once every other day, you know, baby steps, but like see how he responds to that.
Yep.
And I'm actually really interested.
Yeah.
If you felt like sending an update, I would be very curious to know how that conversation goes.
Like resonated. Because it sounds like she's a little bit like, I don't know, people are telling me I have this, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. With that, we're going to end with a dad joke to just lighten our spirits.
Yes, please.
Ashley.
Yes, Taryn.
How do you look for Will Smith in the snow?
Will Smith in the snow?
Yeah.
I can never get, I don't know.
You look for Fresh Prince.
Oh my God. I'm actually really upset for not thinking of that.
That's from my little second grade student as well.
How are your kids so good at this?
They're so good because dad jokes are cool, Ashley.
I never said they weren't, Taryn.
Fine.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yeah. Follow us on Insta.
Facebook.
Keep the party going. Facebook. Twitter. YouTube.
All of it.
All the things.
And we'll talk to you guys soon.
We love you.
Bye.